I'm Logan Webb, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, August 21st, 2023, and this is episode 287 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and despite the early reports, we have not pod faded. Sorry, it's been a few weeks, fellas, and ladies, and everyone else who listens to it. Maybe some dogs do. I don't know. Maybe we have a nice pacifying, calming voice, Eric. But we are back to talk about the last 3 weeks of crappy Giants ball. But, I mean, the overarching really note is they're still in it. So with 38 games left, the Giants are still in prime position. They own a playoff spot right now as we speak. And I'm here with Eric Nathanson to talk about it. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing great. A little secret, I've enjoyed this hurricane that's hitting the West Coast. I'm sorry for everybody's underwater. It sucks. But as somebody who lived in Florida for a long, long time, to see the same kind of clouds roll in over the desert where I live in Arizona, it's just been really kind of weird, kind of cool. So it's been kind of fun to kick back the last few days. And it's not been 100 degrees, so it's been wonderful. I'm good. I'm giddy. We'll get to it. Kyle Harrison tomorrow night. I'm giddy for that. You know, the Giants may be a little boring lately, so hopefully Harrison can inject some life.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit pre-show here, and Eric kind of nailed it on the head there, saying this team's boring right now. It kind of is. And, you know, one of the reasons it's boring right now is okay, their pitching has been good. That's not been the issue. And in fact, if their pitching was, let's say, MLB average, their record would be much, much, much worse. And let's go ahead and, you know, talk about some of that. I mean, a lot has happened since we last recorded. They've been 7-11 since. They've dropped from 2.5 games back of the Dodgers, where we thought, hey, the West is their oyster. They have a chance at this. They still have seven more games against the in about the time it took to say that sentence, the Dodgers won like 11 in a row at one point or something like that. But they're 17-2 in August, 17-2, and now own a commanding, really insurmountable 11.5 game lead over the Giants with 38 to play. So I think it's not pessimistic, Eric, and please tell me if I am being pessimistic. The West cannot be won. That's it. It's over.
No, it's over. We were so young and naive 3 weeks ago, thinking that the Giants had a chance to win the West somehow. And, you know, they just went through a hot stretch where they came out of the All-Star break firing on all cylinders. And it was like, okay, the Giants can be world beaters. The Dodgers can be caught. And then they've gone in opposite directions. And the West is done. There's no way anybody's catching the Dodgers at this point. It's just a matter if the Giants can stay in the wild card race. And as we'll talk about, who knows if they'll actually be able to stay in it. They are second place with a half game lead over the third place Cubs right now. And after that, I think it's just a game lead over everybody else. So the margin is razor thin at the moment. But here we are, Giants baseball. They're in the playoff race.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, again, I keep kind of going back to that. We thought they'd be a mediocre, you know, maybe slightly above average club, maybe be 500 a little bit more. And they still may be that team the way they've been playing lately. They still have plenty of time to hit a 500 mark, maybe even an under 500 mark. Hopefully that does not happen. But they are in the race right now. They do own a wild card spot right now. But man, Eric, six teams are all within like four games, right? You have Philadelphia, two games up on the Giants. And that's why this series in Philly is so huge. Then the Giants are in second, and then they're only a half game up on the Cubs. And then behind them, you have three teams tied, Arizona, Cincinnati, and Miami, all just one game back of the Cubs, 1.5 back of the Giants. So that's five teams within a game and a half. It's anyone's race right now. Anyone of those, you know, any three of those six teams are going to get it. And even way behind that, you have the Padres at like six back. I'm not saying they're going to be back in the race, but if something crazy happens, they could be. So It is definitely not in the bag right now. But at one point when the Giants had like a 5-game lead in the wild card race and they were 2.5 back of the Dodgers, we were thinking greed and we thought they could go for the West. And I certainly thought, okay, even if they play kind of around 500 the rest of the year, a wild card is like a certainty. And mathematically, it would have been from that point. But like I said, you know, they've been under 500 since then, 7-11. So, you know, that's going to hurt you. And, you know, they have this huge stretch of games. We talked about that August was going to be really, really tough. And unfortunately, when they started out August with Oakland and Anaheim, we were thinking, okay, they're going to win at least 3 of those, if not 4 of those 5 games. They lost 4 out of 5 of those, dude. In fact, they've lost
brutal stretch.
Yeah, brutal stretch. You know, starting with those two really mediocre, crappy teams. Well, Oakland, of course, being the worst in the majors. But you have 5 straight series they've lost. Swept in a 2-game series by Oakland. They lost 2 out of 3 each to Anaheim, Texas, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta. And of course, Texas is where you started that gauntlet. Texas, Tampa Bay, Atlanta. Now you got Philly. Then you got Atlanta again. And then you're going to have Chicago. I mean, it's and then San Diego, although they're not above 500 right now. Point is
Cincinnati,
right. It is a gauntlet right now, and they have just I won't go as far as to say they've crapped the bed, but they're getting ready. The turtle is coming out.
Yes. I hate to say it. You were talking about teams in the race. I hate to say that I think the Padres end the season with more wins than the Giants. I don't think they're gonna recover in this stretch. We were talking about the reasons why and how bad it's been, and it's been hitting. You know, you got guys like Wilmer Flores is on fire. He's the only one, absolute only one. Patrick Bailey's hitting .264. That's totally respectable. But like Luis Mato starting just about every day, .224 now that he's back. Jock Peterson, .197 over the last month. Lamont Wade, .191 over the last month. JD Davis, .190. Blake Sable, .184. I mean, you're not going to get it done if all of your hitters are below 200. Wade Meckler's below 200. Crawford has batted .136 over the last month. Casey Schmidt, .091 in the 10 games he's played over the last month. I mean, it's just ugly with the way their hitting has been. And if that continues, and I don't see any reason why it won't. I know that Haniger has been back on a rehab start. And, you know, maybe A.J. Pollock will come back and be a game changer that we were laughing. He won't be. But it's not going to happen. With this offense against this schedule, it's just too brutal of a time right now. This Philly series, it's big, but, I mean, they get swept by Philly or lose 2 out of 3 to Philly. It's forget the top wild card. It's going to be survival the rest of the way. It really is. And I hate to be – I'm not trying to be negative. I'm really not. But I don't see good things ahead for the Giants the rest of the season. I don't – I think they're going to collapse. I think, like you said, they're going to finish around 500 and maybe a little under 500. But Gabe and Farhan are going to keep their job. They got extended. I saw that little nugget last week that they are guaranteed to be around for 2024.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that because as negative as I am about this season and about this team, I think there's a bright future ahead. I think we've seen some flashes of some things. And so if Farhan can build a little better and get some starting pitching to follow, you know, to fill out the rotation, because the rotation is literally Logan Webb, Alex Cobb, and then just some random dude. That's all it is. And you know, they're going to address that with Kyle Harrison tomorrow, but that's still 3 out of 5. So you got to hope in the offseason they can do better than Sean Manaea and Ross Stripling as bulk inning guys and get some real starters.
Yeah, I was wondering how long that house of cards was going to stand. At one point, the Giants were 15-5 in games they started with an opener. And so, I mean, I'm one of them, but I kept pointing to that going, well, it's working. It may not be traditional. It may be obscure. It may be new. I know a lot of the older Giants fans on all the social media sites are get off my lawn and shaking their fist at Gabe and Farhan for that strategy, going, this sucks. And then other people would go, dude, they're 15-5. Like, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with the results. And although I agreed with it, I was still kind of just very wary of about it. But just because it's the history of baseball, and I know things change. And I know it can eventually morph into something like that. Tampa Bay's tried it in the past. Other teams have tried it. Now the Giants are doing it. And it was very successful in the beginning. Not so much now. I believe they're now 15-11 or so with the opener. Wow. They've lost like 6 in a row. It is not working. But I will have to say, a lot of that does have to do not necessarily with the pitching results. It's really more to do with the hitting. So I don't want to put all the onus on, oh, the opener's not working. If you had a starter going those days and you hit the same, you'd probably still be losing anyway, right? Their hitting, like you just touched upon, has been horrible. And it's been weird. It's across the board. It's not like, you know, usually when two-thirds of the team goes cold, you still have a third doing okay or getting hot. No, everyone's dead except for Wilmer Flores. He's been one of the hottest hitters in baseball, really. But, I mean, check this out. On what? They were 254 on June 21st, okay? They've played 50 games since. Since that time, they're hitting 215 as a team in 50 games. That's almost a third of a season. That is dead last in all of baseball. Over that time, they're only averaging 3.3 runs per game, last in all of baseball. It's just been absolutely horrible. Actually, I said 215. That's since July 30th. It's 213 over the last 50 games. Also, the fewest runs in the majors over the last 30 days. They haven't stolen one base, not a single base. And I know this is an important stat. I know that. I get it. It's not always winning you baseball games, but it can help in certain situations, right? Getting out of double plays, putting that runner in scoring position, which they've been had a problem with that too, runners in scoring position. Yeah. They've stolen one base since July 22nd. That is zero stolen bases in their last 25 games. The next lowest team over that time stretch has six, and the leader are the Kansas City Royals with 40 over the last 25 games. And that, of course, has put the Giants dead last in stolen bases for the entire major leagues for the entire year with a meager 46 stolen bases. I mean, back in the day, Ricky Henderson himself had more than that. I know Ronald Acuna does right now, right? Guys like that. I don't know what to do, man. Like, if you're the Giants' opponent, and you're the starting pitcher, you're a relief pitcher, you're a pitcher on the mound, why are you even looking at the guy at first? Why are you even throwing over? You know? He's not going.
There's no need to. They haven't shown – they tried to show it to be part of their game, but as soon as Tyro went down, it just seemed to disappear.
Yeah. And I'm trying to understand. That's, I mean,
It's kind of weird.
I don't get me wrong. I know they're not necessarily built for speed, but I would have expected just – a few hit and runs here and there, right? A couple of straight steals if you're down by a run or it's a tie game. Just something to get that guy in motion. I understand a lot of it is analytics where they're like, well, this guy's a career, you know, throwout percentage of 38%, and our guy has a successful stolen base percentage of 46%, and therefore the odds say that if, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's all like run potential kind of algorithms. I get it. But like you said, this team's kind of boring, and that's part of it, right? It's station-to-station baseball, yes. Lack of hitting, and you just expect them every inning to just go, you know, three up, three down with a strikeout or two. And that's just what it's been. In fact, they've averaged more than a strikeout per inning over that stretch. That's a lot.
Yeah, they're third in baseball in strikeouts on the season altogether. And, you know, the whole reason there's no hit and runs and things like that is where the contact hitter is.
Yeah, that's true.
it's pretty much everybody's a power hitter. I'd say Bailey is one of the better contact hitters at this point. Obviously, Wilmer. Wilmer's been fantastic. But, you know, everybody else is kind of a swing from the heels, you know, strike out or, you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark type, which is why that's what their offense is, feast or famine. They've only scored more than five runs twice in the month of August. They had eight runs in that game against Anaheim where they came back on Charlie Sheen in the ninth inning. And then they scored seven runs against Tampa Bay in the shutout the other day. And that Tampa Bay game, that 7-0 victory, was the only real laugher that the Giants have had in over 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Before that was an 8-3 win against Oakland. Because I don't count that Angels because they scored all those runs in the ninth. So it was a tight game all the way till the end. So, you know, they're never getting out and just keeping the other team down. They just don't score the runs to get it done. It was amazing, though, yesterday, that game against Atlanta. All the balls were scored on home runs, and then, like, Atlanta ties the game on Acuna, Steele, and Bailey's throw into left field, yeah. And then the Giants take the lead back on a bases-loaded walk. Like, it went from bombs to, like, the total most, you know, uneventful way to have a team win the lead. And that's right. Jock's, like, third time walking in the winning run this year.
I know, it's really funny. I mean, when that happened, I was like, of course this is happening to them, right? that, but you know, they did pull it out, so they weren't swept by, you know, the best team in baseball. And man, you do look at the level of play, Eric, and I mean,
so different.
It looks like the Giants are in AAA against the Braves.
Yep.
It really does. I mean, if they were ever to meet in the playoffs, that's it. I mean, I don't see how the Giants would even have a chance. That said, yes, I know any team can beat another team any given day. It's just right now, they just look so overmatched.
It's suffocating. The Braves are just so much better top to bottom. It's what you aspire the Giants to be. The Braves, they have defined roles, and this is what's lacking from the Giants, is that, you know, it goes from the starting pitching to even the way they're maneuvering the, you know, matchups left, right, left, right. And even then there's been questions about what Gabe's doing lately. But when you are a team like that who's just trying to use replaceable parts, you know, it takes out the human element of feeling comfortable knowing your role. You know, Alex Wood, clearly pissed off, hates what's going on right now. There's no way Alex is going to be back with this team. I'll be shocked if he finishes the year with this team.
Yeah, he said but a couple things. Yeah.
He's so angry. He wants to just be a starter, and the Giants aren't letting him do that. And you have to wonder if Manaea is thinking that, if Stripling's thinking that, and other pitchers are going to look at that and see that kind of a thing. So you get into doing those maneuvering, and then you do matchups. And the Giants are playing with replacement-level players, and the Braves are playing with all-star-level players. And that difference was so on display over the weekend. And I'm sure we'll see it again next weekend, you know? I'm curious. That's why this Philly series has me curious, because Philly does have talent up and down the lineup, but I'm curious to see how the Giants hang with them, because they can get on some tears. Like, Conforto didn't have that bad of a month on those stats I was reading earlier. He was batting something like at least 220, 230, you know, a lot better than some of the other guys.
Oh, boy.
He had his streaks, but we're depending on the wrong guys to carry a team right now. And, you know, it shows. No, nobody does anything particularly good. Nobody can carry a team right now. There is nobody like that on the Giants. You know, even Yaz used to carry the team, and he's been hurt a lot. He re-injured his hamstring last week in rehab.
Yeah, he did.
You know, what are they going to do? Which is why, you know, I'm so negative right now. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I really don't. But next year, if they can figure this out a little bit better, they can. We got some good young guys. Matos homered yesterday. I'm not sure I like anything from Meckler yet. And then we'll see what Harrison has to offer. Have you seen Meckler? The guy who struck out like 15 times in like 20 at bats.
Well, what's so funny is that he obviously had this meteoric rise. He was a 2022 draft pick. He just, you know, went right through, played, 10 games in AAA, and then they called him up. It's because he's had video game numbers at every level, and I know it's very unusual for Farhan to do this, but I don't know if they were like, you know, screw it, we just need help. Take the guy with video game numbers, even though he hasn't proved it over a long period of time, right? And they went with him. Now, he's not a power hitter. He only has a few home runs, but his contact is just fantastic. His batting average of balls in play, everything, right? He was hitting like 370 across all the minor leagues. And so they took a chance on him thinking, maybe we can strike while this iron's hot. Maybe he won't be too overmatched by a major. Oh, never mind. It was kind of like, they called him up and he absolutely hit a wall. He absolutely hit a wall. And for a guy who had been making so much contact and striking out so little, it's actually quite shocking to see how many times he's struck out. I mean, you figure the guy's going to be nervous. He's, you know, he's not going to hit 370, but the strikeout is just, it's really surprising to me. But I don't know.
11 Ks and 17 at bats.
There you go. And I don't know if that is, I'm sure it's partially a product of just nerves. I mean, the dude was in college less than 2 years ago, right? And now he's suddenly in the bigs. Yeah. So that could be part of it, but. You know, maybe the pitching is just that much better. And you see all these phenoms come up and they struggle. They struggle. And so I hope it doesn't ruin his psyche. Sometimes there's an argument to be made about not bringing up guys too quickly because of that. I don't know. But he clearly has not found success so far. I don't know how much longer they're going to ride with him before they send him down, since there's always a rotating, you know, carousel here of players going up and down. But yeah, I think they're grasping at straws at this point, just trying to find anyone to hit the ball.
So is that on the reverse side why they're bringing up Harrison? Like, another reason to just try to spark something? Because, like, Meckler, I don't know, man. I look at him, he looks like David Eckstein's cousin who's a mechanic in the backwoods of Georgia. It's like, right. He doesn't look like a ball player. You know, he moves all right in the outfield, but his contact has been weak so far. So, like, you know, the offense has been the problem, but, like, they make a pitching move like this because they think that might spark it. Because how many more rookies can I call up this year at this point on the offensive side? So, you know, I guess it's time to see Harrison. We talked about would we see him in August, and I said, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
About a week later than I thought. I thought we'd see him last week, but they're finally going for the spark. But, you know, nobody's provided that spark.
No.
Schmidt was that for a while. You know, Bailey's the most consistent rookie they brought up and developed. And that's kind of nice because you want the catcher to be a good backbone. So I appreciate that. But that's why this year is kind of like, we'll see what happens next year. And then maybe I'll get angry at Farhan and Gabe at that point. But, you know, I can't get angry at Gabe right now. He's doing what he can with what he's got. I mean, some of these lineups are dumb as hell. Why is Wade Mecklar batting second and Tyro's batting ninth? There's no sense in that. I don't care about lefty-righty matchups. You know, and that goes back to roles, defined roles. You need a team to have defined roles, and they'll click better, and the Giants just don't do that. I mean, I can't imagine. These guys come to the park every day. They don't know where they're going to hit in the order. They don't know if they're going to be playing. They don't know what position they might be at that day. I mean, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, and this is a theme we've hit on a few times before, is we wonder about the psychology of these players that maybe not all of them require this, and I don't think all of them require it. I do think some, I mean, baseball players are traditionally known as creatures of habit. They have all these superstitions. They have, you know, their walkthrough every day, kind of their programming. They have their itinerary, just kind of what they do, right? And to break that up is partially superstitious, but, you know, even if you're not superstitious, it's just a regularity of 162 games throughout the season. And like you said, when you're coming to the park every day, and you don't know where you're playing or if you're playing or where you're batting in the lineup or how long you're playing or if you're coming in the third inning as a pitcher. You just don't know. It's a big black box to you. It's got to be hard to prepare because, again, I never played in the pros, just a little bit of college and, you know, in high school and stuff. And it was like, you know, you kind of know, oh, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be hitting number 7 in the lineup and playing second base. And just mentally, you get into space, you know how to prepare your body or whatever. And even if you're not playing, you prepare in case something happens, like an injury or a pinch hitting role or something like that. But this is all over the board for all the players. I mean, all the players are all over the place. And that's, I think, part of the issue. And I do think that Harrison's being called up to provide maybe some stability and then a spark with two starters. It just lately has not been working. So maybe they just want to get more of a bulk innings guy up there. Get a little pressure off the bullpen, even though they are carrying basically 13 pitchers, right? They're carrying an extended bullpen. So for everyone who says, oh, with only two starters, that taxes the bullpen. It's like, well, no, the other three, quote, starters are now in the bullpen. So, like, don't think of it that way, right? There are bulk inning guys who go out there for four innings. So it's not necessarily putting a strain on the bullpen. It's still the same number of innings spread across the same number of pitchers. I don't like people when they talk about it that way. But I do think that the frequency of pitching could be upsetting. And you touched on it earlier. Alex Wood is pissed. There's no doubt about it. He's expressed his frustration. He does not like this. They did interview Sean Manaea, and he actually said, I dig this. I actually am totally cool with this. You know, I like what I'm doing. I'm helping the team succeed. And looking at his stats, it's kind of bearing out. Over his last 15 innings, he's allowed only 5 hits and 1 in a run. And he struck out 19 batters. That's a 0.60 ERA. It's absolutely crazy. So he has been, you know, kind of flourishing in this role. The batting average against is 104. So, I mean, keep it rolling with him. That's great. But that said, yeah, other guys, you know, aren't digging this. And so maybe, I don't know. It's a tough position for Kapler to be in.
Is it working? What's the point of all this? Yeah. That's the question.
Yeah.
Why can't they just start Manaea and Stripling and Wood? You know, there are five legitimate major league starters.
That's a great question.
As much as – why not just do it that way? I don't understand it. And it's something I wish I could ask Gabe and I could ask Farhan. I mean, Gabe would bite my head off. I don't know if you saw what he did to Danny Emmerman.
To Danny? Oh, poor Danny got roasted. Yeah.
So ridiculous.
No, he was
Gabe just wanted to sound smart. It was really frustrating.
When he flipped the question around and started asking Danny, what do you think? you know? Mm-hmm. That was like, dude, you don't, what are you doing, Gabe? Like, Gabe, I admit, for all the people that, you know, bash him for strategy or his political views or whatever, I don't care about that kind of stuff. He's always been the most professional interviewee. You know what I mean? And in fact, he can give a lot of insight and actually kind of like his interviews most of the time. And it feels like he actually wants to converse with the reporters for the most part. Obviously, the Giants have been performing well, and the pressure is definitely on his shoulders right now. He's feeling the heat right now. And so when they ask him about a role in which why they, you know, didn't pinch hit for Meckler, I guess, in that at bat, or did for Crawford, and like, why is it differing from game to game? And then he basically flipped it around and said, well, I want to ask you, why do you think that? It was kind of like, wait, what? That wasn't the question. And he's like, I know what you're trying to make me say. And it's like, it got kind of bad, but I don't know if he's since apologized.
He was.
But.
Well, I mean, obviously he was ready to blow his stack because he got kicked out. What was it, like the next night or two nights later?
Yeah, and then he got suspended.
Again, Meckler related. That was so funny. It's Wade Meckler related all week long because that's where he came out arguing balls and strikes on. It was nice to see him put a fire, you know, under the team, supposedly, and they won that one game, but then they didn't do jack since.
Right,
so,
and then they didn't do
Even their victories are struggles, are struggles right now. It's just, I don't know, it's frustrating. I hope they start to put together a real rotation for next year. I hope they define some roles, because I don't know, I can't see this experiment working much longer, but I'm willing to give them, as much as I, you know, it sucks that this year is probably not going to be a winning competitive year by the end. I'm willing to give them one more year to see what's going on. You know, you got to give Farhan the shake of his first two drafts of coming to fruition, at least seeing what happens there. You can't just kick him out the door right after his guys start to get to the big league level. You got to at least see if he can put the right guys in place to develop them. So, you know, the future makes me less upset about how the present is going. It makes this boring ass team a lot easier to take because it's just so tough to watch games. You know, you said it, like, before I used to worry about missing a pitch or something like that, but if I'm doing something or if I'm at work even and I step away for a minute, I'm like, it's no big deal. They're going to strike out twice or ground into a double play at this point. Because the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position, I mean, that's – from the offensive side, that is why they lose all these games, is they're not driving these guys in. I don't know how many bases loaded situations we've seen over the last – you know, week and a half.
Bases loaded, nobody out. Two strikeouts and then a pop-up. Yes. It's like stuff like that is happening all the time when you have like an 85% chance of scoring a run in that situation. And they score nothing multiple times. You're like, dude, you just, like, what? Yeah. You know, so the team
Putting ERA, the ball in play, things happen.
Yes, you know? Exactly. So the team ERA, and that's the only thing that's been keeping them afloat in the wild card race. If they're, like I said earlier, if their team ERA and pitching was average or below average, they'd be out of the race right now. It's 3.74 since July 30th. So that's fifth in the league in all of majors since that time. So that's been fine. So that's why, for me, the either opener or the starter, you know, they're kind of flip-flopping. As a whole, it's working. It's statistically, it is. And I know people point and go, well, they've lost six games in a row in which they started an opener. It's like, oh, yeah. But again, I put that more on the shoulders of the hitting or lack thereof than the pitching results, because the pitching results haven't been terrible. They've been totally well above average in the league. So they're doing their job, whatever order they pitch in, they're doing their job. I think Kyle Harrison will provide a spark. I am a little concerned, and we've talked about this before, but he has got great stuff, but he's wild, right? Just wild. I mean, I know the Pacific Coast League is a hitter's league. AAA is a hitter's league there. His ERA this year for Sacramento is 4.66, right? And you think on the surface, wow, that's not great, but it is the PCL. And then you look at some of his other stats, and he's had 65 and two-thirds innings, 52 hits. Okay, less than a hit per inning, that's good. 105 strikeouts. Holy crap.
Yeah,
that's almost two an inning. You're thinking, how is this ERA so high? Oh, there it is. 48 walks. 48 walks in 65 and two-thirds innings. That's the trouble right there. And that's where the bulk of his runs come from. And he's had this problem throughout the entire minor leagues, even way back to San Jose. 98 innings, 52 walks. Richmond, 84 innings, 39 walks. It was actually a little bit better there. Eugene, 29 innings, 10 walks, right? It just his whole career, 279 innings, 149 walks. That's more than a walk every two innings. It's more than a half a walk an inning. So that's not good when you're giving up a half a run or half a base runner every inning for free. And he needs to get those numbers down, man. He got to get them down. So that said, it is still a more than a 2-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. So that in itself is great. But man, could you imagine if this guy cut his walks in just half, where there's kind of more average? He'd be so dominant. He'd be so dominant. But I think that's what the Giants are trying to tap into. He clearly has the stuff. And, you know, I don't know if location is a mental game or what. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I also think that the way they're protecting these guys these days, he hasn't gone over 80 pitches, apparently, in AAA. So you might expect that kind of benchmark here in the majors as well. And with his pitch count being so high, I don't think he's going to get past four innings, which I think is all what the Giants are expecting. They don't expect him to throw six. So it's still going to be a short outing, relatively speaking, but I'm just looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. I mean, this is the, you know, the biggest kind of pitching debut the Giants have had in many, many, many years. In a lot of ways, the feeling is kind of around like a Madison Bumgarner, Tim Lincecum type of debut. We'll see.
Tim Lincecum also made his debut on the road in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I heard about that. And he gave two home runs, like one to Shane Victorino. I remember it was a Sunday night ESPN Baseball Tonight game. So it was an evening game. I remember it was twilight. I went down to our local Irish pub to go watch it because we had heard so much stuff about this kid. And I mean, you know, at the time, here we are back in whatever it was, 2009 or whenever. No, seven. Yeah, seven was his debut.
I'm looking at the box score.
Not many guys were throwing above 95 then. Now it's freaking half the staff throws above 95. That's not a big thing. But back then, throwing 97 was a huge deal. And to see this little tiny kid who literally is smaller than me coming up and throwing 97 was just amazing. I just remember watching that game just going, holy crap, this guy's going to be a Cy Young Award winner. And he was. He was a two-time Cy Young Award winner. He just... His flame did not burn as long as we all hoped it did.
Yeah, he went 6 2/3 that day, gave up 7 hits, 6 runs on those 2 homers you mentioned. He only walked one and struck out 6,
mm-hmm.
but they left him out there for 101 pitches, which is not a plateau you're going to see Harrison get to.
No.
You're totally right about that. That's what just stood out to me was the 101.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be his major league debut. So no one should pile on him if he gives up 5 runs in 3 innings. I'm not going to do that. It's going to be,
right.
You know,
absolutely.
It is what it is. He's out there. But, you know, he's probably going to be up here for at least a few starts, and we just got to kind of monitor that because, you know, the way the Giants operate, guys don't stick up here for too long. They're generally set back down. We already saw that with Casey Schmidt. But that was... Come on, that was warranted, dude. Like, that was
very much so.
He was just not hitting the ball. He was hitting under 100. Then he goes back down to AAA and tears the absolute cover off the ball. Hits over 500, 2 bombs, and then he gets called back up and he still can't hit. I don't know what it is. I think it just really does show you the level of play, the difference between hitting in AAA and hitting in the major leagues. It is really hard. It is really hard. But, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see.
If those guys were to put it together, those are the guys, if they were to put it together, those guys, the Schmidt, the Matos, you know, that would give me more hope to stay competing for the wild card berth at this point.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, as it stands and with the schedule they've got ahead now, you know, you mentioned it, they're in a stretch against some teams. It's just kind of ridiculous. You know, they got to play. Now they got this week we got coming up. We got 3 against Philly and then 3 more against Atlanta. You know, try to get out of the week 2-4, 3-3. You know, there's no easy week ahead until they play Colorado in September. Everybody is in a playoff hunt right now for everywhere they're playing. So these kids are going to have to prove themselves against tough competition. I'd love to see them step it up a little bit. Casey Schmidt put together a few good at bats. Luis Matos, you know, he homered yesterday. So
yeah,
that was yesterday. Was it yesterday? Maybe it was 2 days ago. Either way, I don't know.
I think it was 2 days ago. Yeah, when they lost 5-6. Yeah. They had the lead. They had the lead in the eighth inning, and then Tyler Rogers gave up two. So, and they really were, when you look at that, they were somewhat close to taking 2 out of 3 from the Braves, but, you know, it happens. So, of course, they were also close to getting swept, too. So.
That's fair. Well, that was the only one of these games where it's been really more runs scored. Like, all their other wins or, you know, close games are these tight, like, 2-1, 3-2 games. Like, never 8-7 or 6-5 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the last two games with the Braves kind of were, but, I mean, it's just that shows the lack of hitting. I mean, only scoring 5 or more runs, like, 4 times the last 20 games. That's rough. That's some bad offense, so. Maybe they can turn it around. Maybe Philly's what they need. You know, I always used to say the Giants on the road, when they get to good hitting parks, they do well. But, you know, they haven't been good on the road lately, so that might throw that part out the window.
So I know that they hadn't been doing very well on the road as of late, and I kind of posited that question to you. You quickly looked it up, and so tell everyone, what is their record over the last 16 road games?
2-14, which is just – unbelievable. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you add 5 more games to that, they're 7-14 because of that winning streak. So since that winning streak got snapped in Cincinnati on the road, they're 2-14.
That is absolutely, I mean, wow. I mean, I knew it was bad, but 2-14. So yeah, they got to, you know, they have to play better than that if they're going to even have a shot at the playoffs here. We mentioned the schedule. 3 in Philly, 3 versus Atlanta back at home, 3 versus Cincinnati back at home, and then at the Padres. So, yeah, they got again, August is wrapping up here.
And then at the Cubs after that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cubs are there. The Cubs have scored the second most runs in baseball over the last couple months behind only Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they got to stay in the thick of it here. And with 6 teams vying for it, you know, 3 are probably going to do well, 3 are probably not going to do well. And that will naturally settle the course. The Giants got to be one of the 3 that are playing. I think at this point, realistically, if you want to be in one of those top 3 teams from now on, you can't shoot for 500. I think you're going to have to be a 3 or 4 games above 500 over those next 38. I mean, would you agree?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. 500 is not going to cut it at all right now.
Yeah, because that would finish their 6 games above 500 right now. Which would mean they would finish, if they played 500 the rest of the year, we're talking 84 wins. 84 is not going to get you a postseason berth. So, yeah, they got to play at least, shoot for that 87, 88. So that puts them at 3-4 games, just like I said, above 500 the rest of the way. That's not too much to ask, but with this team, the way they're hitting right now, it might be. I don't know. I just don't know yet. I'm not counting them out yet, but it's just their hitting has to come together right now. While at the same time, the pitching has to kind of stay where it's at. You know, the pitching's already carrying the whole load here, but it is what it is. But yeah, 8 straight series against winning teams. That's 25 total games. They've lost 5 series in a row. 2-14 last 16. Hitting sucks, and now they got a bunch of injuries to deal with. Day to day, you got Tyro Estrada, Lamont Wade Jr. Well, Bryce Johnson doesn't really count too much. I mean, they just recalled him. And then Brandon Crawford was just put on a 10-day IL. And, man, you know this is his last season with the Giants. And I didn't imagine it going this poorly for him. Hitting under 200 and just always on the IL. Just always. He's got an aging body, and he's got a lot of miles on that body. So, you know, it sucks. But, you know, I'm hoping that Crawford retires. You know, I don't think he's going to try and sign on with another team, nor would another team probably take him at this point. And then, you know, go spend some time with his kids, right? He's got 4 young kids.
Not as a starter.
No.
I mean, if he's going to be a bench guy, yeah, San Francisco is the only place to do it. I can't see anybody else, really.
Yeah, and I don't think San Francisco is going to re-sign him. And with his family situation and being such a Giants fan and living in the Bay Area, well, actually lives in Arizona, I should reclaim that. But, yeah, we'll see what happens with him. But we got Stripling, he's on the IL. Mathias, one of the guys they got before the trade deadline, he's on the IL. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And by the way, we need to wrap up here. Unfortunately, I do need to hop off. We didn't even talk about, really, AJ Pollock, their massive trade deadline acquisition. He was injured when they got him. He came off the IL. He's gone back on the IL. He's had a total of six at-bats for the San Francisco Giants with a total of 0 hits and 2 strikeouts. So, yeah, that was their acquisition.
Oh,
and look, I know a lot of fans piled on the Giants for not making a move, and I would have liked to have seen a bigger move. I just think in my heart of hearts and what my brain tells me of what the market conditions were like, they just couldn't get anyone without really sacrificing half their farm. And I just, their farm to me is their future right now. Not one hitter for a rental for 3 months. It just didn't make sense to do that.
At the trade deadline, of all the position players that were moved, the only ones that have really found success are the ones the Dodgers picked up.
You know, Lance I defy Lynn, what the hell? So I know he's a pitcher, but so.
Right, I defy fans to think of any other impact bat that got moved at the deadline that's doing making a difference for any other team. There's no Jock Peterson going to Atlanta out there, or I guess Solaire and Rosario that same year. But you know what I mean? None of those things are happening. It's just nobody had that happen this year. There's no Chris Bryant in this year. So, you know, what the Giants did, what they had to do, which is just make sure they had more outfielders than anybody else.
Well, and I took the bait on a couple of those social media arguments saying that, like, you know, fire Farhan. He couldn't even make a deal. I would have done this. I would have gotten a good hitter for 3 prospects. And then everyone goes, okay, what hitter would you have gotten and for what prospects? Please propose a trade. You can't just say that's like, I would go out and earn $1 million. It's like, well, how? How would you do that? And then I always posited back to them, okay, if there were that hitter out there, someone would have gotten him. Who is that hitter? Who got him and how are they performing? Crickets, nothing.
Right.
Because you hit it on the head. There wasn't really a market for hitters. There just wasn't. So,
nope.
And the ones that were potentially tradable, they clearly either, you know, their asking price wasn't met or at the end they weren't willing to let them go. And that's just it, right? So the Giants would have had to offer up the heaven and the stars for that person. So, yeah, I'm not going to fault the Giants too much on that one. I still wish something could have worked out. But look, I do think that the farm system is the future. I'm hoping they got just enough to putter into the playoffs this year, and then just see what happens. Anything could happen in the playoffs. And if they got waxed in the playoffs, so be it. They move on to next year. We just got to move on with the team that we have right now. Gabe's got a huge, tall assignment in front of him. There's only so much he can control, you know, from game to game. The performance sucks. The hitting sucks. And I just don't know why. I don't know collectively as a team. I don't know if it's because
they're average hitters. They're not anything above average hitters. That's why there's no talent.
Yeah.
To be hitting.
What is this talent you speak of? Do you require talent to perform in sports? I don't understand.
I mean, I don't know. You look at the Braves and all those guys are talented that are doing it. Olsen, Acuna, Alves.
Oh my God!
What
I think is incredible about the Braves is not only the drafting and the trading and getting those guys freaking A's, by the way, but the fact that they have signed all of these dudes to long-term contracts.
Uh-huh.
They've locked them up when they were young and relatively cheap compared to where they're performing now. So the Braves, man, kudos to them. They have really done
the
well.
Model.
They are the model. They have done very well. So they've got a juggernaut for years to come. There's no doubt about that. And they're going to be one of the big powerhouses in the National League. So the Giants got a lot of work to do. But I think we got to wrap up here. I got to hop off, but that'll do it for episode 287. We're getting close to 300. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. What do we got going on here? You can follow us on social media at torturecast.com, facebook.com/torturecast, and of course on the Twitter or what the hell it's called now? The X? I don't know.
X.
Just X.
I type it out as X-Twitter, so Twitter.
Yeah, 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
We're technically on Threads. I admit I haven't been monitoring that. And I think Threads has kind of hit that peak right away, and it's been kind of dying a little bit. So I don't know where that's going to be heading.
Good.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how that we thought it was all going to do well, and now it hasn't. But anyway, you can follow us individually at ChadK21, at 2OutHits for Eric. Eric, you got anything going on? Obviously, Giants chatter.
Just Giants chatter on Facebook. Like, share, subscribe. No, that's it.
Oh, there you go. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening to 287. We'll be back next week for 288. Until then, Have a great week, and we'll see you then. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants.